we are going to talk about the science and art of self-confidence this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. While women have made huge strides toward equality in the workplace, they are still underrepresented in the highest positions. We'll talk with the co-authors of The Confidence Code this hour, who say the culprit is a confidence gap that's part social, part genetic, but also entirely possible to overcome. And we will welcome your own experiences with the confidence gap. And your questions for our guest at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guests. They are co-authors of The Confidence Code, The Science and Art of Self-Assurance, What Women Should Know. Kati Kay is the Washington, D.C. anchor for BBC World News America. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Great to be with you.
Nice to have you. And also with us is Claire Shipman, a correspondent for ABC News and Good Morning America, covering politics, international affairs, and women's issues. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having us.
Well, first of all, I think I'd like to ask both of you, how has a lack of confidence manifested in your own lives and careers? Have you experienced a lack of confidence? Claire first?
Absolutely. I know a lot of people have said to us, how surprising, you're on television, you seem self-assured and poised, and of course those are part of the skills we need to do our job, but absolutely, it's funny, Kati and I, this is our second book together, and we've talked a lot about many of the struggles we've faced as working women and working mothers. When we really dug into confidence, though, we each surprised each other when we started confessing things that had bothered us over the years, and we weren't even sure that they were confidence-based. But for example, one thing I noticed is I am often on political panels, on whether it's This Week or other cable shows, and I had always noticed over the years that I would prepare and prepare and prepare incessantly, and then I would say my piece. Everybody called on me the same amount, but I wasn't talking as much as the guys, and I thought, you know, why is that? The guys are over there talking, going on and on about things they weren't even asked about. And here I am trying to just save time for everybody and say exactly what I know. And so I recently went back and I added up the time, and I spent on average 30% less time talking than the men. And I think in general I had an instinctive sense, well, they're just talking so much more, they're louder, they must know more. And it was almost a deference that I wasn't aware that I was exhibiting.
Yeah, and you're not a blowhard.
Well, there's that. That's the flip side, thank you.
But, Kati, how about you?
You know, I think that a lack of confidence hasn't stopped me from doing the things I want, but that's because by kind of sheer force of will and determination, I've overcome my own nerves and insecurities and lack of self-assurance. I mean, just like Claire, there have been countless times, and there still are, Joy, countless times in my professional life where I think, I can't do this. I'm not qualified. I'm not good enough. I'm just lucky. I've spent so many years when people, you know, as I travel around colleges here in the States and young people come up and say, well, you know, how did you get to where you've got to? And I'll say, I was just lucky. I was in the right place at the right time. So it's not so much that a lack of confidence has stopped me doing the jobs that I want to do. It's kind of more fundamental. It's a way I think about my abilities, which is just not recognizing them fully in a way that I think never really occurs to men. I mean, you know, this is when we started writing this book and we started with our own stories and then digging into it and interviewing other women, and then we started looking at the data. Columbia University has come up with the numbers on this. Men routinely overestimate their abilities by 30%. Women tend to underestimate their abilities, and I think that's exactly the trap that for the past way too many years I've fallen into.
Yeah. I hear the confidence gap with our callers to this radio show. Far more men will call in than women often. And when, you know, anecdotally, when I will talk to women at various public gatherings, some of the times what they say the reason they don't call in is, well, I'm not an expert on that topic. Or,
Yeah. Assuming that the guys must be experts.
Right. Right.
Our standards are so high for ourselves, and that is just, it's so surprising when you really start to dig into this. The other bit of data we loved, well, there was so much, we loved, the data was overwhelming, really, and we tried to synthesize it, but women tend to apply for promotions when they feel they have roughly 100% of the qualifications for a job. Men will do it at 60%. And a lot of, you know, in the past, I think Katie and I might have said, oh, those men, what do they know? How ridiculous. But what we've come to realize is actually how smart to throw your hat in the ring and assume you're going to be able to learn on the job. That's exactly what Carol Dweck talks about in Mindset. Be a learner. You know, feel that you can learn and overcome, and that's what we need to do more of.
Well, why do women have such a difference in their self-confidence than men? Where does this come from? What are the reasons for this?
There's a real cocktail of reasons, of course, and part of it is societal. We are still up against hurdles in our professional lives. Claire mentioned, you know, that she's often on political panels where she's the only woman. That happens to me all the time. I walk into top-level meetings, and I'm often only one or two of a group of men. And I think that, you know, clearly doesn't do much to help our confidence when there are no role models around us, right? Part of it is the way we're brought up, and we can talk about more about that in a minute. But part of it, we were surprised to learn, is also genetic and biological, that there really are brain differences, and this is all frontier research and it's very controversial, but there are ways that our brains are wired that just mean that we have more neurons firing at any one moment, and the thing that makes us such good multitaskers, all of that activity in our brain, is also the same thing that makes us worriers and the same tendency that women have to ruminate on things. That's what psychologists call it. It's that process, I'm sure you recognize it, Joy, of carrying criticism around with you for too long, for focusing on the thing, the tiny little thing that you might have not got 100% accurate, or the little slight that seemed to come your way. And we carry it around for days and days and days, and guys tend to let that stuff roll off their backs a lot more easily. And if you're going to cling to those things, it's so much harder to build your confidence.
You know, I have to multitask right now because we are in our spring membership drive. We will welcome your calls, and I hope women will call in with their experiences with confidence and the confidence gap. You tell us your experience. Tell us if you've experienced this. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Katty Kay and Claire Shipman. They are the co-authors of The Confidence Code, The Science and Art of Self-Assurance, What Women Should Know. And we will continue in just a few moments. But joining me now is the former producer of The Joy Cardine Show and now host of Central Time on the Ideas Network, Rob Ferret. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, Joy. Another great conversation going on.
Yeah, I love talking to great guests about interesting and important topics. And you count on Wisconsin Public Radio for these great discussions. It's your gift of any amount that makes these discussions possible. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've already heard from hundreds of listeners just on the first day of the pledge drive. We're in day two now. Thank you if you've already pledged. We have a goal this hour. We need to hear from 50 members this hour.
And we have two pledges so
far.
Right. So thank you so much. These goals are set up to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money to pay for the programs that you rely on. Help us meet the goal. Help support a service that you value with your gift at WPR.org WBUR.org or 888-202-2552.
I had the opportunity, the privilege to work with Joy on her show for years. Now my life is even better because in the morning I can just listen to Joy and these great conversations and the amazing job she does moving effortlessly from a hard news topic to something about our confidence to something fun and entertaining and just going back and forth effortlessly. I like to think I've learned a thing or two, I hope. You don't get a show like this anywhere else. You don't get a host like Joy anywhere else. It's all possible, pledge by pledge. Because of your support. Pledge now. Make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, thank you so much, Rob. It is great producers like you who make this job easy. You do all the heavy lifting, but it is also easy to give to Wisconsin Public Radio. All it takes is a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount. Say, how about $10 a month?
That donation comes back to you each and every day in the form of great programs, of great conversations that inspire, educate, and entertain you. Show your support at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
I like listening to WPR because I learn so much. You never really stop learning. Being a sustainer for Wisconsin Public Radio makes my husband and I both feel like we're members of a big, wonderful family. My husband and I discussed it. He says, like the Barefoot Contessa, how easy is that? I think Wisconsin Public Radio is important because it makes you think outside the box. I tend to have a narrow vision, and listening to public radio has opened up my eyes and my ears and my mind to all that can be and all that is. I'm Pat Steers. I'm from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and I enjoy very much being a WPR sustainer, and I know you will too.
Oh, I love that. Opening up her eyes and ears and mind. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during our spring pledge drive. Joy Cardine with Rob Ferret asking for your support, your gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is your radio station, the one that wakes you up in the morning, rides with you on your way to and from work, keeps you company all through the day.
The beauty of public radio is that you get to decide how much to pay for the programs that you enjoy. Many first-time donors give $5 a month.
And your gift, combined with donations from other listeners, it all adds up to WPR's single largest source of funding. Become our next new member right now with your first ever pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio in part because we're commercial free. That means we depend on other sources of funding. State, federal, and corporate funding are important.
But again, that single largest piece of the budget pie comes from you. Your support really makes a difference. It's the backbone of our funding. Make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, Rob, time flies. Maybe it's been longer than you realize since you last gave to Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, we're asking you to keep your membership active.
Think of your support of WPR like all the other services you rely on, your telephone or your internet. You don't just get to pay those once, right? Every month, probably. Renew your support of WPR right now with an ongoing monthly gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
All right, we are working toward a 50 pledge goal this hour, and we have 27 minutes to get 48 more pledges. So be a part of making that happen right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And ask for a 2014 artist mug with your pledge today. Just unveiled. I love this mug. Great animals, cartoon animals doing things like doing a radio show. No ferrets there, I don't think.
No, but, I didn't see a ferret in here.
But that's okay. You can imagine one. It was designed, by the way, by Renee Grafe, a nationally known illustrator from where? From Cedarburg, Wisconsin. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I love this mug, and I'm going to get one. It's yours, too, for a pledge of $150 or more, $12.50 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make that pledge right now. If you've never pledged, how about $5 a month? It all matters. It all makes a difference. You count on us for great radio. We count on you to pay for it. WPR.org, sorry, Joy, or 888-202-2552.
Rob, no, thank you very much. This has been a real confidence boost.
Yeah.
So we will get back to talking about the confidence code in just a moment. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with the co-authors of The Confidence Code, The Science and Art of Self-Assurance, What Women Should Know. Caddy Kay and Claire Shipman are both with us, and we welcome your questions for them, and we also welcome your experiences with the confidence code. Christy in La Crosse is with us first. Hello, Christy.
Good morning. How are you doing, Joy?
Very good. So you have experienced this difference in confidence between men and women?
Definitely. I'm a physician. And in training, I'm 57, so in training I realized a lot of women at my age group really were less confident than the men. And my question actually for your guests are that I found what really helped me is I was fortunate enough at that time to have male mentors who recognized that in some ways I was less confident than my male peers years ago. And I was very fortunate that started with my father and went through to two of my major employers who pretty well said, you know, you can do anything, you've got the background, you know, don't underestimate yourself. And I was wondering if they had similar mentors that helped them overcome some of their lack of confidence.
Mm-hmm. Claire, did you?
You know, it's interesting. A lot of people have asked me about mentors over the years, and I would say I haven't had mentors who were as involved as it sounds as though yours were, but you're absolutely right. I mean, one thing we have found is that, and we've heard this from a lot of men, by the way, that they're saying, what can we do? What can we do? And that ability to recognize that women may not put their hands up or ask or go for that promotion, but with a little bit of a hint, they will do it. And that is invaluable to people. And I think, but what I have had and what I've recognized is, you know, there weren't a lot of women in positions of power in my industry either, but I've had incredible opportunities given to me by men who I think were just almost gender blind in some ways and, you know, quite focused on the news and letting people have chances. And I'm eternally grateful to them. And I've made quite a point of telling them so over the years. And I think that's a wonderful point.
Mm-hmm. One thing I would add, Christy, is that I was speaking just the other day to a friend of mine who has kids in a school. And she said, you know, it's so sad. Our school used to have 50-50 boys and girls taking the hard maths courses. And now the girls aren't putting themselves forward so much. And it was because the old teacher who had been there, who had been the main math teacher, who actually had been a guy, had made a point of going to the girls and saying to them, you know what, you're better at this than you think you are. You can do this. And to Claire's point, I think, and we should remember this, I think, as parents, and that, you know, I'm sure you see this in your practice, that sometimes we need to push our girls a little bit more. We have this wonderful, I guess, in a way, a mentor, both Claire and I, Marie Wilson, who ran the White House Project trying to get women into politics. And she came up with this phrase we both still remember. A man will wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and see a senator. A woman would never be so presumptuous. And it's that idea that girls and women need a push. And if we can give our daughters and our young girls around us and even our friends sometimes that push to take a risk, to do the hard thing, to reach for something they don't think they're capable of, that is so much more valuable to them than telling them, you're wonderful, you're perfect, everyone's a winner. Push them to do the thing that's a little bit hard.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about the science of self-confidence just before our pledge break, that women's brains are less predisposed to confidence. How does that work, Claire?
Well, there are two...
there are two really extraordinary things we found in the science. One, we were surprised to find that confidence is partly genetic. So this notion that some people just seem to have been born confident and they've always had it, and well, that's probably true. So there are a handful of genes that we know of right now. No doubt they will figure out more, but these that have been actively studied that really do contribute to creating a more confident outlook, things that affect in our brain serotonin and dopamine, for example. Now, those genes don't distribute themselves along gender lines, as far as we can tell yet. But as Katie said earlier, this is just cutting-edge stuff. So, you know, every month there's a new discovery. But what we did find is this biologically based confidence boost that men get in a number of ways. First of all, testosterone. I mean, that's something mm-hmm. that men have 10 times more of. Well, enormous number of studies on this now. Testosterone really increases the propensity for risk-taking. And risk-taking is part of confidence. Risk-taking is something, the more you do it, the more confidence you build. And in a way, it's smart risk-taking is a manifestation of confidence. So that's something. There's also a center that I'm sure so many women listening right now can identify with. There's something in our brain that people have dubbed the worry wart center of our brain. It's responsible for being cautious and thinking ahead and worrying. And well, it's bigger in women than in men.
Yeah.
No surprise, right?
And certainly there is the nurture part of this. Are men socialized differently that gives them more confidence later in life, Katie?
I think we still do treat our girls and our boys a little bit differently. With the best will in the world, we're still kind of pushing girls into a slightly less confident direction. Of course, girls today are told they can be anything, presidents, astronauts, neuroscientists, whatever they want to be, and they can be those things, and they are doing fantastically academically. We all know that. But at the same time, something subtle is going on in classrooms and even in homes, and I'm just as guilty of this, you know, as everybody else, and that's that we still want our girls to be good girls. And we encourage them to color within the lines and be the ones who wait until they're called upon to answer a question and have their answers perfectly formulated before they put their hands in the air. And we know that overstressed, overworked, underpaid teachers, you know, rely on girls in the classroom to be that kind of moderating influence. And parents do the same. I have four kids, and I know that I have relied on my older daughter to kind of be a surrogate mother sometimes, and she's super good at it, and so I praise her for doing it, and then she gets praised for being a good girl, and so she carries on being a good girl. The trouble with that is that out in the real world, sometimes you need to be able to ruffle feathers. You have to be able to upset people a little bit. You cannot be perfect all the time. You have to be able to raise your hand at a meeting and ask for a pay rise and not be perfectly well prepared. And I think that's the quality, perhaps, that we need to start nurturing in our daughters.
Yeah, but you also note in the book, though, that confident women can be, you know, punished by by society. How can we get society to stop punishing confident women?
And you're so right. That's a double bind that frustrates so many women. It's, well, wait, you're telling us to be more confident, but if we're too confident or seen as aggressive, there's data that shows we're not respected. Men don't like it. It doesn't work for us at work. Well, I think two things we found about that. Number one, what Christine Lagarde, the head of the IMF now, who's really a confidence role model for us, she's just a terrifically confident, wise woman. We talked to her at the beginning of this project, looking for answers. It was interesting because we found that she, too, suffers from a lack of confidence at times. We were surprised to find out. But she made a point to us that we didn't really understand until we were almost done with the book, which is that women in our push to be more confident and to experience confidence, we can't make the mistake of trying to act like the men. She gave a great example to me, and my inability to understand it initially was interesting. She said, I was at Davos, she said, on a panel with all women and one man, and the man kept interrupting. And it seemed rude, and the women, you know, it didn't make sense. And I said to her, but no, actually, women need to learn to interrupt, right? Because, of course, I work in television, and that's how I've managed to be heard all these years. She said, actually, probably not. No, you know, in this setting, it didn't work. And he looked rude, and it was going along perfectly fine. And there's a way we have realized with her help that authenticity is a cornerstone of confidence for us, that our confidence doesn't have to look like male bravado, that behavior that we all recognize, speaking first, speaking loudest, dominating a conversation, that's really just male behavior.
Yep.
That's not necessarily confidence. And so I think there's a kind of confidence we can own that can be our own, and that is a very powerful notion. And the other thing we found is that the workplace is quickly changing. While there are studies that show women who talk more are penalized, or women who are seen as aggressive are called the B word, there are also a number of studies now that show that women are in the best position to be the most powerful leaders, because we're able to combine critical leadership traits today that really are a blend of sort of male-female leadership qualities. So I think we're moving on to new terrain.
We are talking about confidence, the science and art of self-assurance, and especially what women should know, because there is a confidence gap between men and women. We are talking with Caddy Kay and Claire Shipman. They are the co-authors of The Confidence Code. And we will get to more of your phone calls, I promise, in just a moment. But first, this is Wisconsin Public Radio's Spring Membership Drive. And I am joined by Rob Ferret to ask you to put a value on this program and everything else that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio and make a gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are looking to hit that goal of 50 pledges by the end of this hour. Your pledge right now helps pay for the programs that you count on all year long. Thank you if you've already given. Thank you if you're already a sustainer. If not, it's a great time to make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The Ideas Network connects you every single day, every single hour of the day with experts. How many times can you just pick up the phone and talk to the co-authors of a book? How about the editor of a magazine or a politician? The Ideas Network brings these experts right to you. To make it possible, make a donation right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A really huge thank you to our sustaining members. With ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card, you have a big effect on WPR's funding, making it more stable and predictable.
You probably find that the automatic monthly payments are an easy fit in your budget. In fact, now is a great time to increase that gift by a few dollars a month. You can call 888-202-2552 to make that happen.
Maybe you tune into Wisconsin Public Radio every day on your way to and from work, maybe over the lunch hour, and then some more on the weekends, too.
Listening to WPR is an important part of your life. Your day would be different, would not be the same. It would probably be worse if you couldn't catch your favorite program.
Your contribution keeps WPR the strong station that you count on, month after month, year after year. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I listen to Wisconsin Public Radio because it's one of the best mixes that I can find of both highly entertaining and highly useful and informative information. Wisconsin Public Radio really has a great variety in the type of programs they put on. It's very difficult to get bored of listening to WPR. I only used to listen to public radio in the car. I've recently started listening to public radio on online streaming. The variety and quality of the broadcasts are really enough to keep someone, you know, tuning back in for more time and time again. I'm Ben Martin from Minnesota, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for variety and entertainment.
You can make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with Rob Ferret asking for your support during this spring pledge drive. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
Let's think about that $10 a month contribution. That would be just a little over 30 cents a day to Wisconsin Public Radio. You probably spend a lot more than 30 cents a day on things you value a lot less than Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yeah, I think I lose 30 cents a day in my purse. So spend a little of that right now, and you will get a lot in return. Make your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Whether you go online or call, you'll be investing in a station that you value.
Hey, and how about this? After you make that donation to WPR, you can also help even more by telling your friends and family about it.
Yeah, tell a friend. Whether you use social media, call them up, or mention it to them when you see them, just letting them know that you support WPR will help plant that idea in their minds. So make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and then let your friends know how good it feels when you support the station that you enjoy every day.
Yeah, challenge them. Nag them if you have to make a pledge, too.
Tell them to call in a pledge as well.
Yeah. Hey, we've got four people who made their first ever pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio already this hour. How about you? Do you want to finally get off the fence? Maybe you've been listening for a few months, a few years, and thought maybe next time. Maybe next time I'll do it. Hey, it's next time. Make that first pledge now. How about $5 a month? Easy, just takes a few minutes at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you, Jessica from Wisconsin Dells, who pledged and she says, I listen to WPR while I get my kids ready for school in the morning, and then again streaming on my computer after they leave. It's generally on all day long as I work from my home office. I think it makes me more productive. I know it does.
It does. It definitely does. And it builds your confidence, Jessica. And I hope you feel confident and strong after making that pledge. How about you? Why don't you join Jessica with your pledge? If you pledge $150, that's 12 and a half bucks a month, ask for the brand new WPR artist mug. Be the first on your block to get that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, this is a really cute mug. The design is colorful. It's lively. It has animated, cartoon-like animals running the radio station and listening out and about in the community. There's a cat listening to the radio in the attic. It looks like, the host looks like a gopher, actually. I'm not sure. I like that.
Yeah, I knew I modeled for something, but...
So it's a lovely mug that not only are you supporting Wisconsin Public Radio with your pledge, helping to pay for the programs, but you'll get this lovely thank you gift for your $12.50 a month donation. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
But really what it comes down to is that you count on Wisconsin Public Radio for great conversations each and every day. We count on you to help pay for it. Make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you very much, Rob. We'll get back to our conversation about confidence. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Women have made huge strides toward equality in the workplace, but still are underrepresented in the highest positions. We are talking with two authors who say the culprit is a confidence gap that's part social, part genetic, but also entirely possible to overcome. Very happy to have with us Claire Shipman, who is a correspondent for ABC News and Good Morning America, and Katty Kay, who is the Washington, D.C. anchor for BBC World News America. They are co-authors of The Confidence Code, The Science and Art of Self-Assurance, What Women Should Know. And we have callers that I promised to get to, so Carrie and Augusta, thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
Good morning, and I'm going to make sure to get my donation in just a moment.
Thank you.
I want to just say that I work in a predominantly female industry, and one of the things I've noticed in my years in this field is that confidence is found as often as threatening to other women, especially those women who tend to be in some of the higher positions. They almost see you as a threat, that you're coming after their position. When I just, if I'm asking questions, I just see myself as asking questions.
Yeah. What about that, Katty or Claire?
Yeah, I think this gets back to a little bit of what we were talking about, that, you know, when women play by the same rules as men do in the professional space, they do seem to get penalized by that. And it's not just that they're penalized by men. They tend to get penalized by women, too. We have research in the book that shows that when women leaders, business leaders, speak up as much as male business leaders do, the people around them don't like it, and that's the women around them just as much as it is the men around them. On the issue of bosses, you know, we've often been asked, because as we wrote about this in our last book, Womenomics, as well, you know, are female bosses actually tougher on women than male bosses are? And I haven't found the evidence for this. I think that, you know, there are bad bosses, and there are bad male bosses, and there are bad female bosses. And actually, now most of the research is that women are much better at mentoring other women, and companies with more women in senior positions do seem to see women rise up through the ranks more than companies that don't have women in senior positions. So you can come across those individuals, but the trend seems to be the more women there are at the top, the better it is for all of us.
Yeah, and if women had more confidence, Claire, we would be running more companies, we'd be the CEOs, we'd be ruling the world?
I don't know if it's a panacea. I would like to think so. Yes, a little more confidence in the whole world would be different. But joking aside, the thing we really feel about confidence, and believe me, I feel for our caller because I think she's right. She's a pioneer, and you know, the expectation is still among women and men that women are going to be a little more apologetic, a little more sensitive, not as bold. And we're changing perceptions in real time right now. But I think, again, the thing about confidence is it's something we can change. Are we going to legislate in this country, as they have done in Northern Europe, that 30% of board membership needs to be female? I mean, they do it because it's smart, and they do it because it makes a difference for profits and the stability of the economy. That's not going to happen in this country. There are a lot of things that would be wonderful to change institutionally that are maybe their battles we will still fight, and many people are fighting them. But alongside of that, confidence is something that we as individuals can change. And we really do think it makes a difference. Imagine if every woman puts her hand up just one more time in her lifetime for a promotion. I mean, that's a big difference.
Yeah, just asking for a raise would be make a big difference to our pocketbooks, too.
Exactly.
Right. Asking for a raise and making our voices heard. And, you know, when we speak about authenticity, I think it is so important for women not, you know, to try and behave like men, because actually what we bring to the table are the gifts of being women. We bring skills and talents that are so valuable in the business space. And all we're really saying in the book is, don't try and change the way you behave. Certainly don't try and become like a man. Just believe in your abilities, because your abilities are ample.
You know, I don't think we haven't given this, Joy, there's this incredible data that we, again, sorry, back to the data. We're both data-driven now. But Zach Estes, a professor in Italy, conducted an incredible test looking at male-female spatial ability. And he was really studying confidence, but he picked something where men have traditionally been thought to be superior. The first round of tests he did, he found, yes, the men did better on these tests. He looked at the data, though, and noticed that the reason he thought was that women weren't answering the questions. There were many questions women just were skipping. When he told the next group, everybody has to answer all the questions, the women did just as well. And that's just such a great metaphor, we think, in general, for what women are doing, which is just sitting back and not taking action because we're not sure we're perfect. We're not sure our answer is right.
So they were not answering the question because they weren't absolutely sure, and when they guessed, they ended up being right anyway.
They had the ability. They didn't even need to guess, but they were so... The fear for them of getting the answer wrong was so strong that they rather skip the question than answer it at all.
You know, I wanted to ask, I certainly have had issues with self-assurance and confidence, and didn't think maybe I was good enough for this job or that job. But the more experience I got, the more time went on, the more training I got, the more time behind this microphone, for that matter, I did gain confidence. Is some of this overcome just through experience and a matter of time, or was there more going on?
Joy, you know what you need to do? We have up on our website, theconfidencecode.com, a confidence assessment that we drew up with two top psychologists in the country. We launched this assessment 2 weeks ago, the day the book came out, and we thought 300 or 400 people would take it. 40,000 people in America have now taken our confidence assessment.
Wow.
We'd love you to take it too and see where you come on that scale, because I think you're exactly right. During the course of our lifetimes, as we fail and as we have experiences and as we master skills, taking action, building those building blocks of confidence, we realize that we can make our confidence grow. But it would be great if you would take our confidence assessment.
I'm going to do it. And I'm going to also take Bill in Sun Prairie, who's been waiting. Hi, Bill.
Hi. I want to emphasize the importance of fathers in the development of their daughter's confidence. About 35 years ago, I learned I was having a daughter, and I decided I wanted to make her as strong and confident as possible. I had read the theories of Carl Jung about the influence of a father's convictions on their daughter. And so I raised my daughter to really believe in herself. I started off by naming her something as inspirational as I could. So I named her after a star constellation, Cassiopeia. And I'd leave little notes in her desk at school encouraging her. And I asked her who her best friend was, and she would guess a number of people and say, no, it's you. And I always taught her to believe in herself. Well, today, 35 years later, she has a very responsible job, making well over six figures. She's 35 years old. She's got four children, three of which are girls, that she's also named after star constellations, Andromeda, Persephone, and Aurora. And we have this wonderful relationship. She just sent me a card that said on the front, hi, it's just me, and you open it up, and it says, the person who loves you more than anyone else in the universe.
Oh. I'm going to start crying now.
What a wonderful story. We have had so many, thank you for that, we've had so many fathers come to talk to us about their daughters and wanting to encourage just that kind of confidence. And it is so, it's just so beautiful and moving. And I think what's clear is what our caller did is that he also gave her the tools she needed to take chances and to risk and to, you know, there's a strength to the kind of confidence. It's not about protecting the girls. It's about letting them fail and learn, and that is how we grow confident girls. But, yes, fathers are an incredible example.
Well, we need to wrap things up, and I want you both to give us, parting words of wisdom, what women should know about the confidence code. Caddy first.
One thing I learned writing this book is that it's fine to be nervous. We're all nervous. We all get scared of new challenges. I had it just recently walking into a high-level executive meeting. There were 14 men in the room, two women. I had to make a big presentation, and I literally started myself feeling I was going to get sweaty, and I was wearing a pink silk shirt, and I could see the damp patches appearing. I thought, oh, my God, I can never do this. And then I stopped and paused and thought, it's totally normal in this situation to feel nervous. I'd be a robot if I wasn't feeling nervous. But what I can't do is let that stop me from making this presentation, from doing the best job I can. And I think men tend to feel nerves, too. Of course they do. But they don't let it stop them from taking action. And that's something women must learn to do.
Mm-hmm. Claire.
I think we have found that the way to build confidence, even later in life, for people like me, is through taking small risks, moving on to bigger risks, and getting comfortable with failure. Women have got to jettison perfectionism and get comfortable with failure, and that's the cycle that can create more confidence for us.
Claire Shipman, Caddy Kay, thank you both very much for being with us.
Joy, thank you so
thank
much.
You, Joy.
And we will put that confidence code, confidence assessment up on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page so you can take it too. Caddy Kay and Claire Shipman are authors, co-authors of The Confidence Code. I'm Joy Cardine, joined by Rob Ferret, who is the host of Central Time and a former producer of this show, to ask you in these last couple minutes of this hour to support the programs you rely on, like the Joy Cardine Show. Make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Help pay for the programs you depend on. We've gotten 11 people making their first ever pledge this hour,
Yay.
Which is fantastic. Let's see if we can hit 20 first-time members of Wisconsin Public Radio, or maybe if you haven't pledged for a while, you can come back to us now.
I think that counts.
I think so. Make your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I am confident that you understand that Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported, and we would not have these interesting and informative conversations that we do every day, like we just did with the co-authors of The Confidence Code, if it weren't for your support. You can support this service with a gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think of all the great moments you've experienced on the Joy Cardine Show. Hearing from Cassiopeia's dad just a few minutes ago was a great story. I'm hearing in the last few weeks from lawmakers giving their exit interviews, looking back on what worked and what didn't work in the legislature. Hearing Richard Lederer sing about Shakespeare. Hearing why a suspicious sandwich disgusts us and causes us to feel fearful. All these great moments that I've experienced listening to the Joy Cardine Show. Make a pledge to support those moments at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are looking to have as many new members as possible during this particular hour. Rob, just your goal was 20 new listeners in this hour, and we have 9 to go. So won't you be one of those 9 new listeners to call in your pledge or to go online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. A lot of first-time contributors do $5 a month. Mm-hmm. You decide how much, though.
That's the great thing. Whether it's $5 a month or you want to join the 9XM Leadership Circle with a pledge of $100 a month, it helps. Every amount helps. You make a difference to Wisconsin Public Radio with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, I know you will not agree with all of the opinions that you hear from our callers or our guests or other newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. That's really a good thing. It means that you're hearing multiple points of view, that you are fully engaged in this discussion with the guests from a wide variety of perspectives. It means that you'll end up being better informed about the issues because you've heard from these different perspectives. We are listener supported, and your gift right now keeps that diversity of opinions on the radio. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The conversations you hear on the Ideas Network can challenge you. They can inform you, educate you, entertain you. They can sometimes just make you laugh your butt off. Put a value on that because we cannot do it without your financial support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, Rob, the great thing about working at Wisconsin Public Radio, besides great producers and being able to talk to great guests and talk about important topics, is we have the best listeners in the whole world. Karen and Seth from Madison pledged this hour, and their comment, thank you, Wisconsin Public Radio. Isn't it? I mean, just thank you. And they're willing to voluntarily give us money.
How about that? Yeah. Thank you, Karen and Seth. Mm-hmm. How about you join Karen and Seth with your contribution, your support for WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks, Rob Ferret. Thanks, Bill Martins. Thanks, Christy Taylor. Thanks, Robin Cherry, my producers. And thank you for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Couldn't do it without you. Make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.